rezone and preliminary.
Questions for Doug? All right, none at this time. So this is a public hearing. We'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Did we have a sign-in sheet out there? And once we get that, then I'll go ahead and have the applicant come up and if they wish to. Awesome, thank you. Yeah, so you can go ahead and come forward if you'd like.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Pat Teeley, office address 12594 Explorer in Boise, and I'm here to represent the developer of this subdivision. Yeah, thank you. This subdivision was originally submitted to the city in 2006 and approved with 30 lots. It was and rezoned to an R4. Since then, a lot of things have happened to the economy, both up and down. Right now, it's going back up. So here we are again to get the approval for basically the same layout as what was approved in 2006. The requested zone is an R6. It's since 2006, your zoning classifications have changed. The R4 is as close as we can get. The R4 of 2006 is essentially what the R6 is now today. And we are basically our densities and lot sizes are similar to the subdivision to the north, Ryan Meadows. We have read the conditions of approval. We have worked with staff. It's taken quite a while to get to the point of where we are now, right now. And we have worked with staff through the months to make sure that the application was what we wanted and what the city wanted. We have read the conditions of approval, both from the city of Kuna and the Aikane Highway District, and agree with the comments made. If you have any questions, I'll stand for a question.
Okay, questions for the applicant?
Yes.
Representative. Yes, Councilmember Laraway.
I can't get it, I can't find it right now, but on the paperwork is at 9.71, but on
the
ACHD's paperwork, it says 8.7.
The correct acreage is 8.71. We corrected that figure at the planning zoning meeting, but I see it's translated into this paperwork here also. It is 8.71 acres.
Okay, further questions? All right, that's it for now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, and we have two people signed up to testify. Brett Hughes.
I think I put not testify.
No, you did the right box.
Okay.
And so did the other one. So, did everybody get a chance to sign in on this that wishes to testify in this matter? Okay, the two that we had marked not to testify. So that leads us to the hands of council at this point. One thing that I had noticed, possibly Doug here for that, So on the neighborhood meeting, apparently there was only a couple of people that showed up to that. However, one of the things that's supposed to happen is a list of concerns that were addressed, and we didn't have any kind of minutes. I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Doug?
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Doug Hanson, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. I do not know anything about a list of minutes. That was not included in the application folder. Perhaps the applicant could speak to if there were any minutes taken, if people decided to testify or not.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Does the applicant representative know anything about that? Sorry, making everybody get up and sit down and sit up.
Yeah, need the exercise. Huh? We did hold a neighborhood meeting in conformance with City of CUNA requirements. The concerns there were approximately 20 neighbors that attended. The concerns ranged from construction traffic and headlights shining on adjacent houses. There was no opposition to the layout or the number of lots.
So when was this meeting held? The one I'm looking at was February 4th was when it was noticed, and the meeting was held February 13th in 2020, and there were only two people signed up on the sign-up sheet.
Yes, there were some people that called into our office in addition to that.
Many didn't want to sign.
As was noted, a lot of people didn't want to sign for some reason. I don't know what they thought was going to happen, but.
Sign for approval, huh?
Yeah, we twisted somehow to make that work.
Interesting.
Okay. All right, that's all I had on that.
Okay. Any other?
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes,
Richard. I had a question. I'm kind of going over my notes. There was, under conditions of approval, there was 23 conditions. What was the final decision on the road to the west?
Basically, we talked to ACHD about that, and that was, there's basically no need for it, other than they just like sub-streets.
Right.
And it doesn't connect to any type of public roadway system. Those are 5-acre lots out there, and they're served by a private road coming off of the road to the south. So that there was no type of public road connection that could be made there. And that's why they decided not to require it.
Okay. I guess my concern is it's one of the conditions on Section K. So I don't know if it should be mandated that the road be put in or it be excluded if it's not a condition going to the west.
So the was the conditions, is that from planning and zoning staff,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
Yes, we had a discussion about that at planning and zoning, and believe that we came to a conclusion on it, and that the city was going to support not requiring that sub street to the west. I think staff was, I don't know if the staff that was there is here tonight, but that was the conclusion at that meeting.
Right. I guess my concern, Mr. Teeley, is if it's a condition of approval, it probably needs to be either agreed upon or removed if it's no longer a condition.
Which condition were you talking about?
Conditions I've got written down as per section K, and I think Wendy was still the planning and zoning director, if I remember right. For some reason, I can't bring that up on my screen.
So, yeah, maybe it's on the planning and zoning.
Here, you can, how do you bring up? Oh, you got to go back there.
Yeah, the question had ACHD recommendation for a substitute at the west.
And that's how you bring it up. You go back to the agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
So then it has the sub tab on it.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Did you hear Commissioner Larway?
No.
Or council, whatever he is now.
I question ACHD recommendation for the stub street to the west because the statement in the report is the applicant shall construct an open street that stubs to the west of the property line to access 1250 South Crane.
One of the reasons I'm asking is going through some of the literature, it looks like I thought I read where the city was agreeable because it goes to a private lane as to not make it a condition. And I guess that's my question. Did, since it's a condition of approval, was it not a condition of approval? I'm sorry.
It's contradictory is what you're saying, yes? And that makes sense.
Oh, wait a minute. They're looking at each other, nodding. So we're halfway there.
Mr. Mayor, council members, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. I believe that was a condition specific to the ACHD staff report. That wasn't a specific condition made from planning and zoning staff.
Okay.
And Mayor, we made a specific, you know, a question and request to the Planning and Zoning Board that that condition be eliminated at that time, and they were in support of it. The reason the ACHD had it in there is they didn't know that road that it would connect to was private.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Gigray.
Bill Gigray, City Attorney, 5700 East Franklin Road, Nampa, Idaho. Ultimately, since this includes a subdivision, the highway district has to approve the final plat. And so if they have a condition of requiring this stub street, they won't approve the final plat until it's included. So I would think this particular matter would ultimately end in their lap as to whether they're really going to require it or not. And obviously your question is good. Should it be included in your condition of approval? Which I guess is a matter of clarification of the record. So plats, final plats are approved not only by cities if they're within the city, but they're also approved by the highway district by statute before okay. They can be recorded.
And for what it's worth, that we did talk with the highway district on that and they agreed with not requiring it. So we'll have, as Mr. Gigray says, we need their signature on the plat and their approval of the plan. So we're not, if they're not going to back off it, we'll have to build the stub street, but I'm sure they will.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any further? So the only other thing that I noticed was on the public works comments that unless there's something that negates that later on that the 10 mile lift station is already at capacity and that this R6 exceeds the capacity for the original design, as most of that was designed for 3.5 EDUs. And I know that you had just said something about it being about 4, but do you know anything about the discussion on the
original? Yeah, the original subdivision was in there with 39 lots, I believe, was approved. And that's the way the sewer system for the city of Cuna was designed, with that density. We're actually coming in at a lower density. We only have 27 buildable lots.
But the original, didn't you say the original design was in 2006,
that's correct.
Six, yeah. So, all right, let me find out when his comment.
So that, I don't know if that answer was in response to R6 zone and ultimate build out, or whether it's to our specific plan, but we're way below the density allowed in the R6 zone.
Mr. Mayor, this is Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
City engineer. No idea what my address is. We looked at that extensively, and we believe we have sufficient capacity to serve them. It's an infill lot or subdivision, and we can handle it. And we have some things in the works that will make it a little bit better too, so we have capacity for them.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question.
Is this thing stuck?
I may have killed it, Chris. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, I'm there now. Okay, it's back. Okay, any further questions then? Okay, was there anything else you wanted to add? I mean, there's really no need for rebuttal.
No, none at all. Thank you. The questions handled it.
All right, very good. Okay.
Warren, you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Then I guess I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Okay, motion's made to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would then move we approve case number 20-05S and 20-02ZC.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve 20-05-S and 20-02ZC. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That moves us to item 7A, consideration to approve 2101-LLA, a lot line adjustment. We have Jessica Reed listed here. Is that going to be?
Yeah, she'll be with.
Okay. They won't let me touch the screens, Greg.
No.
Yeah, they slap my hand when I get close and want to start touching stuff.
Well, maybe that's all a good thing.
It's probably better.
Yeah, come on in. I've announced you and everything.
Red means go, right?
Yep, red's hot.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street, Kuna. David Crawford of B&A Engineers, on behalf of Tim Gordon, seeks lot line adjustment approval for five subject properties located at 680 South Swan Falls Road and 101 East Stagecoach Way, Kuna. The lot line adjustment would facilitate a more efficient layout for current and future uses. The parcels are currently zoned M1 light industrial, and approval of said lot line adjustment will not change the zoning district. After review, staff has included this request is in accordance with Kuna City Code Title 5, Comprehensive Plan, and Future Land Use Map. Staff recommends that the council approves case number 21-01-LLA, that the applicant be subject to the recommended conditions of approval listed in Section I of the staff report. With that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, any questions for Jessica?
Nope.
Not yet.
Okay.
Don't run far.
Okay, promise. Thank you.
Okay, you may have the floor whenever you're ready.
All right, Mayor, Council, my name's David Crawford, B&A Engineers. I'm here representing the applicant in regards to the property boundary adjustment that's shown. I think Jessica did a great job of summarizing, so I'm not going to duplicate all her efforts, but we stand to respectfully request approval for the property boundary adjustment as shown, and we do agree to the conditions of approval that are written. And I'll stand for any questions you have.
What are these properties currently zoned as?
Mayor, council members, I believe it is M1. Yeah,
we're
not proposing any zone changes.
Okay, for the property. I couldn't find that, but I got it now. Okay, did anybody have any questions for Dave?
Mayor,
yes.
If I could have the floor. Dave, I thought somewhere going through this that it said there was minor changes. If I look at it, parcel 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all encompassing parcel E now.
Mayor, Councilmember Cardoza, I believe 3 and we have original parcels 2, 3, 4, and 5 that will all become one parcel.
One, which is parcel E.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. I thought I had read there wasn't any major changes, but it seems like that would be a major change going from 4 parcels to 1, although it doesn't affect my decision. It just seems like it is a major change. So,
Mayor, council member, not to belabor the issue, I don't disagree. It seems like a large change, but the way the property is used, we've got all these lot lines out there that don't exist. There's no buildings on them. It's just lay down yards and truck access points.
Right.
So we retained those parcels that were actually being utilized as such.
Okay, thanks, David. Thanks, Mayor.
You should make one more square one randomly in the middle. Okay. Any further questions? All right.
Nope.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What is the pleasure of the council?
I would say that it's just a cleanup of a bunch of lots to make better use of, and I would move we approve 21-01 LLA.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 21-01 LLA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. All right, thank you. Item 7B, contingency request for $30,000 for a storage building at North Wastewater Treatment Facility, Public Works Department, Paul Stevens. And it came to our attention that that is actually backwards. And if you read that in the packet, you'll see that the request is, the original approval was 30,000. The request is actually for 100,000. So anyway, Paul, did you want to go ahead and chime in on that?
Sure, Mayor. This is Poole, city engineer. And I wrote a memo to the council, and the Public Works Department budget has $30,000 in for a storage building to be built at the North Wastewater Treatment Facility. And current material and labor costs have dramatically increased in the past several months. Current price quotes show that we will not have a securable building for the budgeted amount. Simultaneously, to keep up with the rapid expansion of the city of CUNA, the Public Works Department has increased the parts inventory. More storage is needed to promote good organization and avoid loss and waste. The additional storage will be shared between the water and sewer departments. The Public Works Department would like this building to be securable with at least one climate-controlled bay to house the new Vactor truck. The sewer Vactor truck has to be instantly ready for deployment and cannot be allowed to freeze during storage. And so we're requesting $100,000 from contingency to complete the project.
Okay, thank you. Bill, question for you. Since we printed this wrong in the agenda, do we feel there's any need to republish this on the next agenda, and or can we move forward since it's just basically a contingency request?
Mayor, members of the council, Bill Gigray, city attorney, just so I understand the question, in what regard do you see that there's a discrepancy in the...
So on the agenda, the contingency request for $30,000.
Right.
Actually, that was the original amount that was approved for, budgeted for. The request is actually for $100,000.
I think that'd probably be a significant difference unless we have a tremendous amount of inflation immediately. I think the safe play probably would be to republish this unless there's some type of emergency. If there's an emergency associated with the loss of funds on behalf of the city or damage that would occur, you could entertain and declare an emergency and amend the agenda at this meeting to increase that to $100,000. I would suggest that the city engineer, Paul, would have to outline what that emergency situation is, as long as it's related to the loss of city funds or some type of emergency that could include damage or loss to city property. Then I think you could proceed with an amendment of the agenda item during the meeting.
Okay, so question for Paul then is, would this be problematic for you to postpone this request until the first meeting in March?
No, that would not be a problem. We do need to get it done, but it's not an emergency.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Bill Gigray, again, I think that's a safe play, given, you know, if it was 31.5 or 30, you know, was within the range, but that's more than twice as much. I think that I'm glad you caught that. Thank you.
All right. does. We really don't even need a motion to do anything here other than we'll just add it to the agenda next
time. Yeah, and I think the clerk could add it and as requested by the Public Works Director.
Mayor?
Yes.
I've got a question, Paul. Are you asking for 70,000 more or 100,000 more for a total of 130?
Yes, 130.
Could that memorandum that you do be a little more specific than to the 130 total?
Yes, I can do that. No problem.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. So we will add that to the next agenda, the first meeting in March, I believe. So item C is a contingency request for $76,000 for PLC replacement. Paul.
Mayor, I did another memorandum. It's in your packet, and I'll read most of it so that it's clear. The North Wastewater Treatment Plant electrical control components are becoming the victim of time. As the components age, failure becomes more frequent and replacement parts become less available to not at all available. Recently, one of the main programmable logic controllers failed. There is no backup for this PLC because the backup had been repurposed to replace the original failed PLC. This latest failure resulted with a near upset condition and overflows into the out of service second treatment train tanks. Fortunately, the overflow was contained and no spill occurred. And I'd like to point out the spills and fines from DEQ are extensive and they're normally about $25,000 per day and each day is a new violation. We explored possible options, including rebuilding the failed unit. And the cost for that's between $5,000 and $10,000 just for one unit. The failed components can be rebuilt, but would not have any guarantee of working either short or long term and would require total reprogramming, which we felt both of those items would be a waste of money and we'd end up doing the work twice. Searching for the best use of city funds, we explored the cost to replace the main PLC and the other aging components that have to relate to the main PLC. Our evaluation showed that a complete rebuild would be needed to establish a usable life expectancy with backup capability. And the amount that we're requesting is 76,000. We're hoping it will come in a little less than that because they have some rebates, but we really can't count on those. They're semi-wishful thinking. And are there any questions?
Okay, questions for Paul.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, then I would move we approve $76,000 for PLC replacement from contingency.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the request for $76,000 for the PLC replacement from contingency. Is there any further discussion?
Could the contingency be more specific as to what account it's coming out of, please?
Okay. Do you have a specific account or accounts that you're going to split that contingency out of, Paul?
I do not know what that number would be. Jared might.
Basically, if we just know the split, it would be water, sewer, and PI.
This one would just be sewer, Mayor.
Okay. Yes, Jared. Yes,
Jared at the city treasurer.
That needs to be read. Yeah, Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So this is a computer components that are related strictly to the wastewater treatment plant and for processing of wastewater. So it would be strictly sewer.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any further questions on that or discussion on the motion? All right, so the motion is the approval of $76,000 contingency from the sewer fund.
Sewer, yep.
Okay, and second still stands on that, I assume? Yes, okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries, thank you. Item D, consideration to approve resolution number R09-2021, Jace Hellman, Planning and Zoning.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Ada County Highway District is in the process of developing the integrated five-year work plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2026. This year's five-year work plan process continues as an integrated plan that coordinates different types of ACHD projects with their maintenance and operation efforts. As occurred last year, this process involves priority list requests for both roadway and intersection projects, as well as community program projects from all partner agencies. Staff has made several additions to this year's priority list for ACHD's consideration to be included in their five-year work plan. Last year, the city of CUNA proposed 12 roadway or road and intersection projects and 18 community program projects. This year, we're proposing 33 roads and intersection projects and 17 community program projects. Additionally, three roads and intersection projects and nine community program projects are currently included in the five-year work plan and are actively in progress in some capacity or the other. And one road and intersection projects and four community program projects were actually completed in 2020. ACHD requires a letter of endorsement to be submitted along with our priority list request. The attached resolution will serve as that letter of endorsement. Upon approval of this resolution, the priority list will be transmitted to Ada County Highway District by the deadline of February 24th to be reviewed as a part of their five-year work plan development process. Beginning in the July, an initial plan or draft of the plan will be transmitted to ACHD's partner agencies. The comment period for that draft will be open until mid-August, and an adoption of their plan is proposed to occur in September this year. With that, I'll stand for any questions you guys may have.
Okay, questions for Jace on that? Nope. So we actually spent quite a bit of time on this this year, and one thing that we looked at a little harder this year was making completing sections that actually would complete a route. So 10 mile, we wanted to include every project that needs to happen on 10 mile to make that a usable route from the city of CUNA all the way to Meridian. And then we met with the school district to help assist with their comments, and that way we could have a common plan with the school district. And I think it went very well. I think we actually have a really good direction with our five-year work plan. It's I'm more comfortable with it this time than I have been in a long time. So I'm pleased with the work that Jace and his team have done on it, and the cooperation with the school district and everything in ACHD. And I think we just have a better way of doing it now. So I appreciate you for that. And,
well, thank you.
I don't know if anybody has any further questions or comments.
Mayor?
Yes.
If I could have the floor.
Matt?
Jace, on number two, the overpass, does Ada County Highway District have any funds that will ever be available? Do you know? Have you gone into detailed discussion with them on that?
We haven't at this point. One of my goals here is in the next week or so is to actually request a regular scheduled meeting with ACHD and our staff just to go over our plans and projects that are happening here and just try and get our feet at the table and help manage projects that are happening in the city. There's not funding for it right now. My understanding is as we get closer, the more we have it on a priority list, the school district has it on their priority list. It gets more points, more put at the top. We can also explore in the future potential alternative funding matches that can go towards their budget as well, that we can list in future renditions of the priority list. We didn't have any this year, but hopefully as we move along, we can keep, and I can work with Chris and their grant program to try and find some matching funds somewhere to hopefully take over some of the cost. And as the urban renewal district takes off too and gets increment that would be also a matching funding source as well to try and get some funds thrown at this project that we desperately need.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and then so just to kind of add on to what Jace has been saying, this is the discussion we've been having for quite a few years. If we keep it highly ranked on our five-year work plan, if we get the availability for they used to be called Tiger grants and some of the bigger federal grant funding that comes available, like this year, the state has a surplus and they're putting more money into transportation. I'd actually talked to our local senator about that, and we were working on some ways of bringing that forward to the state. And so it just makes it better if all of a sudden we have the availability to have the funding for it. ACHD doesn't have it on the five-year work plan, then we have to do that extra bit of scrambling to try and make sure it rises to the top. So we've kept it at top, fully knowing that if there's not funding for it, lower ranking projects will happen first. But I think, and I think with what Jace is going to start doing with ACHD and having more frequent discussions and really getting on the same page as everybody will be helpful. So we keep it high and have high hopes, but I don't know when that's going to happen. I kept thinking we were getting close, but hasn't happened yet, but someday soon, I hope.
Thanks, Jace.
Okay, anything further? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jace.
All right.
Thanks, Jace.
Okay, then I would move we approve resolution number R092021.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R092021. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That motion carries. Item E is consideration to list for sale city-owned property on Avalon that was previously used as a community garden. Bobby.
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, City of Cuna, 270 South Orchard. Mayor, Council, I'm coming before you tonight for your consideration to list the Avalon Community Garden site for sale, and to put the funds towards a community facility on city-owned property, most likely Meadowview. When we first started this, the community garden was a hit. We had a lot of participation. As time went on, people were excited, but nobody showed up. It's been kind of a eyesore for the community. We try to keep the weeds down as much as possible, but it gets overlooked. I do have a map of the property over there. Some other issues we have with it is we don't have parking for it. We used to use City Hall parking and then have people walk across the street, but we're no longer over there, so people can't park there. And if this is considered, then I'll be working with Lisa and Chris to get it listed and then go forward from there. I stand for questions.
Questions for Bobby? Yes, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'd be more than happy to work with Bobby on this. We have to follow the procedure in Chapter 14, Title 50, and you have to go through an intent to declare that you're going to sell or exchange the property. There's a public hearing. There's a whole process for this. You can't just list it with a realtor in order to follow public. And my recommendation, if Bobby's okay with this, would be that I could let him know what options and how he could proceed, and then he can follow those steps as he feels is in the best interest within the limits that we have to follow by the state law.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
So I will also be working with Bill and doing this the right way.
Yeah, we have to declare surplus and things like that.
I think it's
that.
A good,
yeah.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, sorry. You go ahead.
Bill Gay, Gray City Attorney, I think it's a good exercise to go through, because I think if I have an opportunity to go through this with Bobby, as these issues come up in the future, he'll have the protocols down and he'll know the procedural steps to follow in order to comply with the Idaho law on real property. If it were personal property, it'd be Katie by the door.
And we like it best when Bobby follows the law.
Well, so does he, I'm sure.
That's what you're for, Bill.
Mayor?
Yes.
Bobby, do you know that land was abandoned for taxes, wasn't it?
I don't think it was abandoned. I don't remember specifically how we got it. I want to say there was some water damage to the house that was on it because of the gravity irrigation.
The backup of sewer or water. That's what it was.
And so there was actually litigation and ended up purchasing the property and tearing down the house and having said property.
Okay. My next question, and I'm not sure it's directed at you as much as Bill. Bill, if general funds were used to allocate to buy this property, does those funds have to go back into the general fund then?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Councilman Cardoza, I believe the plan on how you want to proceed would include where the funds would go. And so that's part of what I'd work with Bobby as to what his options are in that regard. And then there would be a proposal as you surplus this property and you sell it and you get proceeds from it, what you're going to do with the property. I've been through this with other cities. And that's always part of what we do.
Okay. I guess my question is, it doesn't have to go back to the fund that the money was allocated from.
Not unless it was a proprietary fund. And if it's under the jurisdiction of Parks and Rec, my hunch is it's not a proprietary fund property. If it were proprietary funds, yes, they would have to go back.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for your wise decision there too, Bobby.
Good question, Richard. Thank you. All right. So I guess you're just looking for approval to move forward. Is council amenable to letting Bobby go ahead and move forward and start working on that, see what they can come up with? And then we'll decide later if we want to say yes or no to the actual sale. So,
do you need a motion on that?
I don't think so. I think just proceed
with Bill, Lisa, and Chris.
If no one is totally opposed, then Bobby can go ahead and start working on that.
You'll have it done by next meeting?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Bobby. That leaves us with an executive session. And I think rather what we've decided to do rather than shut everything down would be to adjourn down to the planning and zoning conference room for the executive session. I believe we need council, Nancy. We need Bill for the, probably should. Okay. I think that's all we need, right? So if we have a motion to that effect, that would work good. And then we'll come back, re-adjourn, and finish with item 7F.
Mayor?
Yes.
Do we have to go back to 7F?
After.
We have to make a decision.
Oh, on this.
After okay. the okay. exact session.
Okay. Mayor?
Yes.
Bill Gigray, City Attorney, just a recommendation that you appoint a special secretary to take the minutes of the executive session. It's my understanding that the accomplished clerk is not going to be here, does a much better job, but you need a substitute.
Okay.
Okay, then I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 742061D to consider records exempt and disclosures and provided in Chapter 1 to include the council, mayor, Nancy Stauffer, and attorney Bill Gray, who will also be our secretary.
Okay.
for notes.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Are we going to get per diem and mileage?
Per diem and mileage, yes, I think we should. It's, you know, it's a few steps down there. And it's dark, too. Maybe Nancy will go get the lights. All right, I don't think this will take long.
There's that.
Have a good evening. Drive safe. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. So you'll be able to do the open session?
Community garden.
That's great
fertilizer. That's great. Recycling. You'll get
the spread manure to the farm.
We're buying a $200,000 boat. Well, the sheriff's office got a big on grants, so they're buying that.
Yeah, they also got a
rich call back in the day. State boat, what they're creating, their harvest spots and superstructures. Right, they our boats so outdated on the lake and some of the control up there on TV.
So are they going to put that one off here?
The old one?
Yeah.
They might keep it just as a backup, but the amount of money they have to count on that just to keep it running. There comes a point where you're like,
especially
you should just,
And it's a boat, so it's going to happen.
A 20-year-old boat is.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Yeah.
So who patrols Arrow Rock?
So, above Lucky Peak?
We can send it out. Do you just have a list? I think my list is. At least when I have sent out some.
It's weird because even up at Lucky Peak, you have Boise, Elmore, and Avent.
Yeah.
So we have an MOU that allows us to do the most of the time. And then we just have the biggest agency. So they have an MOU that we have a permanent in the summertime, full time boat unit up there. The Boise County does, but they don't have the tax base.
Yeah. Well, Boise County doesn't even plow on the road, so.
No. I've had to go to court up there before when we were doing juveniles. The worst thing we do is write a bunch of consumption tickets on juveniles, and you have to go to Boise City's court on your abortion bans. The mobile home they have set up there, and they just don't have the tax base at all.
Have you guys?
Did you grow up on the Boise area?
No, I grew up on the stop.
That last year, last night, in the area, I knew some Eddie's
video page, or do we know what that's
called? Right?
Yeah.
DMCEY.
Yeah.
If you go to the website, go down.
No, come from the other side.
Bonneville.
Oh, yeah.
And there should be one for you, too.
The windy, cold side.
Win.
So that's all it does. We had to travel back then, football games over there, Pocatello. I mean, now there's so many high schools in the valley here. I think we have to travel. How far away do you go somewhere?
I know it involves 100 miles, I think.
Yeah, so
I think it's 2 hours.
Pretty
close. Yeah. I just really don't think that, you know, I appreciate the same amount of wild area out there, because I mean, Jackson's really close. Yeah. Yellowstone.
It's nice. Glacier. Is it Glacier?
Glacier National Park, that's up by Canada.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's got the Wind River area.
So I'm trying to,
I created a park around park.
Yeah, a lot of stuff over there. As close as we are from here, you know, I've only been there
rather than like just sending them to these people saying,
something years.
Oh, yeah, you could do this. It says 7 hours.
Okay, well, now that's how we're going to help them throw all like the blame and the bad stuff.
It takes a lot of dedication.
Make them do a snap decision instead of us actually being able to talk about it. Four families of some of them who want to trailers over there and camping out.
I think I said, like, the whole park that we're getting through this
year. It's been a long time since I've done that.
To be a part of for next year.
It's beautiful over there, though.
Yeah.
I am.
In the summertime.
Yes. That's the key.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, in Yellowstone, the summer only lasts 2 months.
Right. Right. Well, and so this Friday, I was talking to Christy
in October. I mean, we're about,
It's freezing. How does alternative funding, we're going to help with our scenario. So mid-June, similar to that, we still have really high traffic
for those truncated
Still sitting pretty good. On July and August are the busiest
times.
Yeah.
If there's a possibility to take that funding and then pair it with ACHD and ICD.
Oh, I can remember.
Like the actual pedestrian intersection improvement, and they cover the railing. Does that help our case?
We'll
she's like, yeah, and it's like, so when does that like need to be brought up? And they don't knock on September, so we find additional funding and things that can go to help some of these projects. And
well, we come up with
no, like, hey, if you can make this work, we have dollars to
maybe.
And I was wondering what we had last week.
They said that they had the signatures. They wouldn't get a buffer.
Reed Bush, who is the mayor of Boise's transportation advisor and the transportation planning team.
Right.
Just more of an introduction.
Yeah.
We sent each other meetings.
That's smart.
Kingdom's kind of been blocked off from the world for a while. And my big question for them was, you know, IT or ACH. Boise and Meridian both have big transportation planning initiatives in their departments. How did those match, or how do you live in the world of ACHD? Like, how are you involved in decisions?
Because it's no secret you guys get. I think it'll probably be about 11 hours.
But how are you able to influence your part of those decisions? Like, how does your department act in relation to the road, right?
With the wind trailer and stuff.
And that's kind of where they get.
So we'll do about monthly. 7 hours.
Maybe we don't get it monthly, but
stay somewhere involved in that decision. In a few hours.
And rest of what I can afford if we can find in larger grant funds for the overpass. I mean, the reason why we can't go.
I've been over there before. That's a nice drive. I've done the entire coastal highway from Washington, Oregon, California, down to San Diego. But Southern California just had about Monterey. They just highway one collapse. They had just wiped it out. So it's gonna take years. It took the road out. So they're gonna have to redo everything. And, but the residents, I mean, it's pretty nice over there, right over there. Get my kids to be able to see that. So it's not bad.
Seems like a $100 million project that's going on.
You're just over there.
But it is an ACHD
part, but they're long on stuff. That was a major grow area over in that
the ERD side.
That means that area right there, so you have to be careful, or you have to be careful about what it was. Like hiking, you can come and run to people's roads and stuff. They're dangerous people.
I bet they are.
Yeah. Sergeant Keene, one of our sergeants, he's from that area. He worked that area. And he talked about it. Traps, all sorts of stuff. We've got to be really careful. So we'll just stay on the redwood paths. No, I'm not venturing out.
You know, so now we're talking to one.
We don't realize how good we have over here.
We're really bridging that.
We don't have to worry about all of that kind of stuff.
Well, no.
Yes.
All right.
From ACHD.
Now, since
there's a way to assemble it all,
legalized marijuana,
it's just.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know for a fact what they're going with over there, but I'm sure it's
the first thing is we're gonna get
they're traveling the freeway. ISP, that's what ISP ended up giving me. And now I gotta go look at that because I love K-19 teams now. They used to not have K-19
last year.
They're knocking them down, coming
had money or putting money into a design.
Morgan had their dogs, their canines, because they were all scented on the marijuana. Well, now you can't use, because you can use a drug detection dog. One of our canine alerts on the vehicle, it gives us probable cause to keep that vehicle in the manner. Even if somebody doesn't want us to, we have the right to get in that vehicle based on the canine alert.
We didn't use it for anything.
You're way close to that camera. There you go. Well, I didn't have it on that page. I clicked that and went, oh, that's a lot of your face right there. Who left them two in the same room together?
Yeah, she's been live the whole time.
Yeah, what are they doing? Are they settling this way, finally?
All right, well, we are back from executive session. Information was received and no action was taken. And that brings us to item 7F on the agenda. So we just need a motion.
Mayor to sign PSA 2021-01.
Mayor, I would move to authorize you to sign PSA 2021-01.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any motion made to approve that? Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Mayor Council announcements. Did anybody have anything they want to mention? So since the last meeting, when I was nervously awaiting the arrival of my grandson, I have a grandson, so I'm excited about that. Beautiful little boy, looks just like him. All right, actually, he's a lot cuter than that, so don't hold that against him. Very excited about that. Mom and baby are both good, so. We've been busy with a lot of legislative items. Probably the one that's most pertinent to us is the legislature's trying to cap our budgetary things that we do and the way that we can collect property taxes. They're looking at basically it takes away a good deal of the portion of the new annexation and new construction roll taxes that we collect. We can never collect more than, I believe, 4% increase on the budget. And when we're, I think last year we were growing at about 10%. So that obviously is not going to help us keep up with the ability to provide police services, which is where a large portion of our property tax budget goes. We've finally gotten that to where that is, we're at least close to where we want to be with our police services and budgeting and number of officers per 1,000 people. We're completely there, but almost. And basically that would hamper our ability to continue that. We certainly don't want to go backwards in that. So. We're trying, we've made different options for them to look at. One of the things that we see is as the new growth and new annexation occurs, those numbers are put into the budget request based on the levy rate numbers from the previous year. And we figured out that we could actually make an estimate based on what the assessor tells us as to what that is going to be for the next year so that it doesn't impact people that live here currently, because if the next year comes in at a lower rate, therefore some of the money gets added into the budget, and it's usually quite minimal, but that extra difference actually goes into being paid by the people that already live here. So that's minor, but that's one of the things that we found as to why property taxes are increasing. I don't know, Jared, do you want to say anything on? Jared's been helping me a lot through this, going through our numbers and looking at what the impact would be on the city if this thing passes.
Mayor, City Treasurer, Jared Empey. So there's been quite a few different proposals that have been brought forward by the State Senate. One proposal has been that we would get no new construction or annexation increase to our budgets going forward. We'd only get, I believe it was 5% if we brought that increase to a public vote. Obviously, that didn't get much traction. Then they proposed other things. Again, the latest proposal is that we'd only be able to get 75% of annexation and new construction roll. We'd be able to retain the 3% increase, which is essentially an inflation adjusted number. However, as the mayor said, that does hamper our ability to service the existing population and any future growth. One forecast that we did is over the next essentially 9-10 years, that would create essentially a $5 million difference if they went with the 75% cap on annexation and new construction. And that's if growth is low. So if growth is high, we said that it could at least be 6 million. So that's a significant amount of money over that 9-10 year period
that would significantly affect our ability to fund police services and maintain a safe community. So for those reasons, we were opposed to any changes to the existing tax system.
Good, thank you. And then the other thing that we see is, so homeowners, people that are selling their houses, you know, if some of them are getting $50,000-$60,000 over asking price. And so then when the assessor comes in, they look at that, well, the value is based on what you're able to sell it for. So those values are increasing exponentially. If the legislature allowed the assessor's office to make more reasonable assumptions rather than what a house sells for, but actually maybe what its value should be, then we don't see the tax shift from commercial to residential. And so that's another place where residential private property owners are paying more money every year on taxes. It's coming off the commercial base and going to the residential base. And as you know, in CUNA, we don't have a huge commercial base. We're about 90-10 split there. So it's not as big here. City of Boise, for example, they're somewhere around a 50-50. So when things like that happen in the city of Boise, it's dramatic for property taxpayers there. And same with Meridian. I don't remember now what their split is, but they're 60% or 65% residential. And so the more that balance is equalized, the more that costs. So I think there's several things that the legislature could do to help us out and help property taxpayers rather than something like this that's not going to be, in the end, it's going to be detrimental to everyone rather than help fix the problem. So they're not really addressing the problem. So, yeah, Bill, I thought you might want to chime in.
Yeah. And members of the council, we watch this pretty closely. And of course, I represent a lot of fire districts, highway districts, and others that are property tax related. And I think the bill that's now before the legislature, is it true that's getting the attention is 1108? Because I think they tried to reintroduce, because they took out in 1048, which was the prior one, and 1021 was the one before that. They took out new construction rule completely, and now they're trying to put it back in. One of the things we were concerned about, and that is, this is amending Idaho Code Section 63802, and that's the one that limits how much property tax increase you can take every year. That's the main statute that deals with that. There's a subsection one in that statute which exempts provisions for override elections, bond elections, and annexations. And the way they propose to amend this, they struck through the subsection 3 and 4 and just said is otherwise provided in this section, which creates a potential ambiguity of how it would be interpreted. So Bill Punkany, who you know is attorney, is in our office. He gets a hold of the property tax people in the tax commission, which are the ones that interpret the statutes once they get into place. Is this going to create an ambiguity? How are you going to interpret this? Does this mean this trumps these other sections? Or are you going to say these other sections are still exempted from this limitation? And they weren't sure. So the answer that he got was, you better ask for an attorney general's opinion. And the reason for that is, they are instructed by the governor's office not to talk to the legislature unless specifically asked, which may have something to do with some of the yin and the yang of the governor's office and the legislature right now. So we had drafted for, and this is a real concern for Napa Fire Protection District, because they just annexed the city of Napa, which would have a huge impact. And of course, for you, as you've just explained, annexations and the ability to include those as your tax base for the following year is hugely important. And what happens is, if the tax commission is instructed, or they take the position or their board that they're going to interpret it one way, you're going to be stuck with it.
unless you take them to court. And that's going to be too late for any fiscal year. And I've run into this argument with them on the tort claim levy, which I've always taken the position, because that levy in the law allows, irrespective of any provision, other provision in the law, this tort claim levy is added to whatever increases you could have. And this, remember in the days when we had high inflation with insurance carriers and so on, that was allowed where you could take an additional amount to cover your insurance costs and any of your costs associated with protection of the city against liability. They won't allow it. If you're at your levy limit, you're done, and they say 802 trumps this other statute. So my concern was, if for some reason the political winds up there decide they're going to interpret it one way and they defend it, you're stuck with it. So we better get an attorney general's opinion that this is an ambiguity, so the legislature can see that they better not take out those subsection 3 and 4 and leave it alone as it was. So I think that's a serious problem. And I agree wholeheartedly with the mayor on the assessment situation. I don't think they've, in any of their committee meetings, it didn't look to me like they looked at any bills that would have adjusted the laws on assessment. I have a client who does for a living. He's a professional appraiser, and we've done contracts with counties all over the state over his providing assessment appraisal information for the whole assessment process. And it's really clear, and I've reviewed the law on this, those counties have to keep that assessment roll current within 5 years. And when they don't, the state tax commission has the authority to come in and say, oh yes, you will. And they do put pressure, because I know we dealt with some counties where the state tax commission has been annoyed that they've been letting those appraisals stay low. And so if there was some way to adjust that process and to adjust the standards, which are developed by the tax commission, and they are the directions to the assessor under law, that could have a lot to do with keeping the amount of inflation of assessed values down. Some of us that are older remember the old days when assessed values were really low and they stayed pretty low. You never used them as an appraisal for probates because they were so far down. But that law was changed. I think that's helpful because communities need the support and the assessed value in order to get the property tax. On the other hand, maybe it needs to be looked at as you've suggested. And I don't know that legislature has ever taken a look at that side of it. And
not really interested in suggestions like that. So we're not really getting anywhere with it, which is kind of why we're at the point now of having to just oppose what they're offering. And as you know, you take off new growth and construction, annexation, that's the one tool we have to kind of help growth pay for itself. We're very limited on what we can and can't, approve when it comes to people buying property and doing what they want with it and that. So basically this would force us into somehow limiting growth, which could create major legal concerns. I don't know how you do that. I mean, we base things on ability to serve, and if we don't have the ability to serve and we have to start limiting growth, we could get into a whole mess of mucky muck over that. So I don't know where this is going, but I'm hopeful that at some point they'll slow down and listen to some other suggestions other than just trying to cap our budget. So. Good news is, so far, I think, at least I haven't heard anything bad on it yet, but our ability to do our legal postings on our websites and that type of media site, rather than having to publish in the papers that bill.
That was defeated in the House.
It got through the House committee and went to the full House, but I haven't heard from there.
They voted it down.
Oh, did they?
42-38.
On House Bill 53. Ah. Well, so they want to take away our funding and still make us pay a bunch of extra money that's not
There's a bill in the legislature that I think is a great one. You know, the recreational immunity statute that we have, so that if you own property and it's available for the public's use for recreational purposes, there is no liability. There's immunity. This bill that's before the legislature, and I think it's, I don't know if it's 134, I can't remember the number right now, it expands that. So it's very clear that they clarify and expand the definition of ownership. So if you have a licensed use of property, if you have an easement, if it involves canals or this, that, or the other, it's included in the definitions and the immunity, which I think opens the door to negotiating with irrigation companies for the use of their canal roads and others for pathways and other recreational uses associated with this. So I think that is a really good bill, and it passed. It passed the Senate. Yeah, it's a Senate bill, and it's gone to the House. It was like 30-3 or something, and the Water Users Association sponsoring it. So I think that'll make it through, and I think I want to make sure Bobby's aware of that, because I think that is some ammunition that he can use when he takes a look at recreational properties in the city to go to these entities and say, give us a license agreement or this, that, or the other. As long as it's open for recreational use without charging a fee, you've got immunity and you're not going to have any liability.
Good. All right. Well, that's really all I have for tonight. So
thank you.
Appreciate everybody. And this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, science.